Welcome everybody to the GFB podcast, God, Family, Business. My name is Raul Avila and I am your host, and I hope you enjoy today's show. All right, welcome everybody. Good evening, everybody. How is everybody doing tonight? Very excited for tonight's the Money Game Investment Webinar. Tonight is going to be very, very great, guys. It's going to be so powerful, jam-packed with powerful. Today, we're going to talk more about the psychology of money and humans and their interaction of money and humans, because it's very, very weird how we think and the mindset that we have about money. For sure, one of the things that hold us back from creating wealth and saving money, even just saving money, it all comes down to what we think about money, you know, and that's something that we're going to be talking about today. So I'm very, very excited about it. I'm very, very excited about what we're going to, our event for today. So welcome once again. And if you're tuning in, if this is your first time, I want to welcome you. We've been doing this for the past 11 weeks. And we've been bringing in some great guest speakers, and all of these webinars are recorded and they're streamed live right now, currently through YouTube. And if you're watching this through YouTube, thank you so much. Make sure you like, you subscribe. If you see that this content was helpful, and you share also this content to friends and family. But I guarantee that this hour of your time is not going to be wasted. It's going to be something that you're definitely going to benefit from. No doubt about it. Just like every week, I literally prepare the whole week for these webinars. I do them once a week, and throughout the whole week, as soon as this webinar is over, I'm already thinking, what are we going to talk about for next week? What can I bring of value to families, to our community, so that we could change lives? We could change, change the way, kill poverty, right? It says the best way to, The best way to fight poverty is to not be one of them. The best way to fight poverty is to not be poor, right? Another Gandhi said, the worst form of violence is poverty. Let me repeat that one again. The worst form of violence is poverty. One of the reasons, and that is exactly the reason that we do these webinars, is because I am so for fighting against poverty. I'm violent towards poverty. We grew up poor. I hate the feeling of being poor. I hate the feeling of not having money. I hate the feeling of not being in control of my money, right? Money's in control when back in the days when money was in control of me, the feeling sucks. I was paycheck to paycheck. I was drowning in debt. I was in situations that I lost my cars. I was in situations that I lost my house. I had just bought a house when we barely got married. We moved into this new house. It was a dumb money choice, right? But we lost the house and that wasn't a good feeling. We struggled. We I remember being 3 months behind in rent. That feeling sucks. I remember not having money to put gas in my car. That feeling sucks. I remember I didn't have money to eat. I needed to put money in gas before I ate, because in my business, I needed to go drive to a family's home and do a presentation and see if I could help them with their finances. And that brought money to the table. So I would rather go to Costco with my Costco card, man. You know, I'm forever loyal to Costco. I don't have it with me. It's in my other room. But Costco, I remember with the Costco card, you could walk in and then there's samples, right? There's like 5, 6, 7 sample stands. And I remember that's how I would eat. I know it sounds crazy, but I went through that. I remember I would go to Costco just to eat and fill up my tummy, go around the samples like 4 or 5 times, and then I would be full and then I would be ready to go again. I remember me and my wife would go to my tío's house, her tío's and tía's house, just to get a banana, just to get a snack, just to get some leftovers. We would eat and let's go back to work. I remember those days. I remember the days that, you know, when I was in college, I didn't have a place to live. I remember, you know, we rented a house. We rented a house with 4 guys or 5 guys. I don't remember, to be honest, but I do remember that we lost the house because 2 of the guys flaked out on us. They decided to move out. They didn't even tell us. We just got home. I got home and then all of a sudden one of my roommates says, did you know? And I said, no, what? Did you know that this guy and this guy moved out? And I was like, no, what happened? Look, check out the room. We went to the room and there was nothing there. And they just literally left us. And the guys that were, it was me and two other guys that were left over. We couldn't afford it. We couldn't afford the monthly rent payment of the house. So we went our separate ways. And in college, you know, they don't rent during the middle of the quarter, apartments or houses in a college area. So I was homeless for like 2 months and a half, 3 months. I slept in couches, I slept in floors, and I'm very grateful for the people that let me sleep in their couch for a couple of months. I think I abused that, their kindness or something, but all I remember is that it sucks. All I remember that not having money sucks, not having money is no good, and I told myself, man, you know what, I'm gonna change my family tree. There's no way that my parents came to this country, you know, from Mexico, And they brought me here so that I could be lazy, so that I could be like them. You know, I have better opportunities. I got a language. I just speak two languages. I speak English and Spanish. How could I fail here? You know, there's plenty of people that are millionaires. And especially in these times, there have been more millionaires created in these times than any other time in the history of this world. Right now, I was reading a magazine by Forbes magazine, and it was talking about how there's a billionaire that's created pretty much every single day, a daily billionaire, with an M, with a B as in boy, a billionaire on a daily basis is created right now in this world, guys. So why not you? Why not? That's what I asked myself. Why not me? I mean, if there's, like in my company, you know, you get awarded for making over $100,000 a year. They give you this this awesome ring right here, right? You see that? Anyways, there's over 2,500 people in our company that makes $100,000 a year. And I told myself, there's room for one more, me. And that's the way I've always looked at it. And you got to think different about how you could do it too. You know, how can you make $100,000 a year so that you could live off of $60,000 and save $40,000 a year? How could you do that? You got to be creative. You got to be thinking and changing the way you think about money, because there's plenty of it out there. You know, there's plenty. It's an unlimited resource. You know, you don't have to take from the rich so that you could create wealth for your family. You could create it yourself. In fact, the rich want to help you. You know, they want to teach people that are willing to go out there and fight for it. They ain't going to give you any. They're going to show you what they did. And then all you got to do is just do it. And that's, guess what, guys? That's why I do this class as well, because I'm willing to spend an hour, 2 hours of my time, because in 1 hour, we're going to do it in Spanish, to teach people how to do this, not because look at me, you know, or, you know, so that you could say, thank you, Raul. No. It's so that you have control, so that you understand and know, not think, not hope, not like, hopefully. No. This is a fact. You can do it. You could save money. You could create money. You could make a lot of money. And in the unlimited resource of money, they're printing money every day. The government's printing unlimited money every single day, right? Just like air, breathe. There's unlimited air in this world, right? Drink water. Look, there's unlimited water, right? There may be a drought in your area, but the world has plenty of water. Let me tell you. In Mexico, there's this, I wish I could show you the picture, but there's this waterfall, that there's this mountain that is oozing with natural drinking water, oozing. I wish I could show you the picture. I'll find it. And if I find it, I'll show you, but it's oozing with drinking water. And I wonder, and those type of things make me realize, you know what? There's no drought. There's plenty, plenty of water, right? Plenty, plenty of water. So I'm excited to share that abundance mindset with you, because this could change your life, and it all starts with choices. So I've titled tonight's webinar, I've titled tonight's podcast, The Choice is Yours. The choice is yours. All right. So let me start first by sharing with you this picture right here, okay? Because this picture, you know, so you know how they say pictures speak 1,000 words, right? This picture, hopefully it speaks to you thousands of words, because it is an unlimited resource. It is an unlimited resource. So here we go, okay? This is what I was sharing with you. There's unlimited amounts of money. Guess what? There's an unlimited amount of water, unlimited amount of air. You just gotta go out there and figure out ways to get it. As long as it's moral, legal, ethical, it's available, let's go get it. So here's a nice picture, right? But right behind us, look at the waterfall that you see right behind us. You see that waterfall? Unlimited water. You see this little trickle water right here? It's literally oozing from the mountain. Let me show you a better picture, okay? So check this out. This is incredible. Look at this. Okay, hold on. Right here. Look at that. You see these streams of water? They're not coming from the top. They're literally oozing out of the mountain. Like the water has so much pressure. Look at this. Look at that. Look at that amazing view right there. This water is not coming from the top. It's literally oozing out of the mountain. Look at the oozing part right here. Look at that. Can you see that? I don't know if you could see that. Look at that. It's amazing, guys. It's literally like I was looking at that and I was thinking, man, this is so incredible how much water there actually is out there in the world, you know? So let me can I zoom into that? Look at that. Okay. See if I could zoom into that. Look at right there. I know it's a beautiful picture of my wife, right? But on the right side of that picture, right? I wish I could have a pointer, but look at the water that's oozing. All right. Enough about that, man. I'm just so fired up about sharing with you this information tonight. So again, everything is there. Everything is there, but you have to think different about the choices that you make. So the choice is yours. That's tonight's webinar. Okay. So I want to read to you guys tonight something from a book that I was reading when I was in Mexico this weekend. It's called The Compound Effect. Can you see that? The Compound Effect. It's a book by Darren Hardy, which is the editor-in-chief and the owner of Success Magazine. And in this book, he has a chapter that talks about choices. And I want to read this to you because it was so impactful for me when I read it, and I want to share it with people, right? Anything that brings value, I love to share. So check this out. It says, we all come into this world the same, naked, scared, and ignorant. After that grand entrance, the life we end up with is simply an accumulation of all the choices we make. I'm going to give it to you in another way. Bill Gates, one of the wealthiest people in the world, says, if you are born poor, it's not your fault. But if you die poor, it is your fault. Choices are the root of every one of your results. Each choice starts a behavior, and then that over time becomes a habit. Choose poorly, and you just might find yourself back at the drawing board, forced to make a new and often harder choice. Don't choose at all, and you've just made the choice to be the passive receiver of whatever comes your way. Crazy, right? So if you don't choose, you're making a choice by not choosing, and now you're going to be the passive receiver of whatever comes your way. Is that powerful or what? Look at this. You make the choices, and then your choices make you. And if you make bad choices, then that turns into consequences. And consequences are the results of a series of small, poor choices, right? So you have to take 100% responsibility of our lives, because until we do, then we are, if we blame outside sources of why, let's say your financial situation, you might have a great financial situation, or you want to improve your financial situation. But let's say you have a bad financial situation and you want to change that. Then the first thing you got to do is you cannot blame anybody else for your financial situation other than you, other than yourself. That's the beginning of change. When you say, it's me. It's because of me. It's the choices that I've made. I am where I'm at. Again, remember, you make the choices, and then the choices make you. Just like a relationship, Okay. It talks about, like, in this example, it talks about a relationship, but we're going to get into the money part, but this is good. You could relate it to anything. Just think about it. We're all self-made women and men, but only the successful take credit for it. When I read that, I'm like, oh, that's so good, man. Because look, you've all heard self-made millionaire, right? You know, that guy's a self-made millionaire, right? But have you ever heard that guy's a self-made poor person? Or that guy is a self-made broke person? Have you ever heard of that? I've never heard of that. But see, the thing is that we're all self-made. Only the wealthy take credit for it. Pretty cool, right? Look at what it says. Let me ask you a question. Think about this. What percentage of shared responsibility do you have in making a relationship work? So me, I'm married. I've been happily married for 14 years. And what if somebody was to ask you this question? What percentage of shared responsibility between you and your spouse do you have in making that relationship work? What would you say? Would you say, I don't know, put it on the chat right here. We have some people in the chat right here. Let's check out the chat. What would you say to that? Yes, go ahead. What would you say? Type it in on the chat. You know, I did the same talk with my organization in a group of 50 people this past Tuesday, and they were yelling out 50-50. Some people yelled out 80-20. You got to give more, you know, than what you expect. You know what the right answer is? The right answer is, guys, the right answer is 100-0. It says you have to be willing to give 100% with zero expectations of receiving anything in return. Only when you are willing to take 100% responsibility for making the relationship work will it work. Otherwise, a relationship left to chance will always be vulnerable to disaster. Isn't that true? Well, guess what? You have to take 100% responsibility, because if you don't, then it's vulnerable to chance, and that's going to be a financial disaster. So the next graph I'm going to show you here is a graph that shows how this works. Look at this. It says on the left side of the chart, it says these are the results that you want. You want great income or bad income, great health, bad health, great relationships, bad relationships, great happiness, bad happiness, great success, no success, right? Well, look, your choices create behaviors, which create habits, which eventually will get you great results or crappy results, right? So think about this, okay? When it comes to money, what are the choices that you're making that are creating great behaviors, that are creating great habits so that you could have great success, or vice versa? Think about that. This is something to think about. Make sure you screenshot all this stuff. This is good stuff right here. I'm also going to show you an example of somebody that makes good choices and somebody that makes bad choices. Let me give you an example of that right now. This is beautiful right here. This is beautiful right here. Let's say you have a friend and your friend is a type, okay? In this example, that's the way it's shown. I wish I could say your friend doesn't save and you the one that saved, right? You're the smart one. But in this example, let's say you have a friend that saves $250 a month. And the same opportunity at age 23, and the same opportunity was given to you. You were together when you heard this like financial seminar, just like tonight. But your friend decided to take action at age 23, and he started saving $250 a month for the first 18 years. So from age 23 to age 40, he saved $250 a month. And 18 years later, he had accumulated $120,000. You with me? But you decided you'll do it later. You decided that, let's say you're 23, you're young, you're like, I don't see importance in saving money. In fact, I can't save any money because I'm spending all my money on, you know, cars, new stereo system, new computer, new iPad, new girlfriend, whatever, right? Whatever 23-year-olds spend their money on nowadays. So you didn't, and your friend did. But you, at age 41, you started saving $250 a month. You see that? So look at the results. Your friend started early, and at age 40, he stopped. He no longer continued to save. So all that was happening now is the money was just being left there, but it was growing. So look at the results here. You started saving at age 41 for 250, but your friend stopped saving $250 a month. What were the results? Look at this, guys. The results are staggering. Your friend that started early and stopped saving till for the next, you know, many, many years, at age 67, he accumulated $1,033,000 in savings. And you started late, you were only able to accumulate $285,000. Now look at the craziest part about this. The craziest part about this is that your friend invested $54,000 out of his pocket and you invested $81,000 out of your pocket and your friend ended up with way more. By the way, this is also another great example of the magic of compound interest, which is one of the reasons that I got involved in the financial service industry. I saw huge opportunity. I said, how come I didn't learn this stuff in school? You're probably wondering the same thing. How come they don't teach this stuff in school? And this is the power of the choices that you make, right? Did you choose in the early on part of your years, Raul, why are you showing me this, man? You're getting me depressed. I'm 40 years old. Like me, I'm 42 years old right now, right? Well, you know what? This could work for your kids. Why don't you screenshot this, or, you know, I'll put it on, I'll send it to you, you know, just request it from me. Just make sure you, you type in the word seminar, investment seminar, to my number, to my text number, 760-501-2536. Make sure you text the word webinar and I'll send you all these illustrations that I'm using today. So make sure you do that and I'll send it to you. Okay. But look, you could send this to your friends and family or to your young nephews or nieces that should hear this information so that they could apply this information for their lives and they could change their family tree. Why not, right? That's a great idea. Let's do this. But it's all about the choices that we make. Just think about that, okay? Today on Instagram, I shared a couple examples. I mentioned that I was going to talk about the $54,000 cup of coffee and how you can make a cup of coffee turn into $54,000. And I want to share with you that now because this is pretty powerful stuff. And I'm going to read also from this book, the story that it talks about that. And man, this is so cool. I can't wait to share this with you because this is also another life-changing idea that could help you big time. So one of the ways you can make better choices is in this book, it talks about tracking everything. So let's say you're here in this webinar because you want to improve your financial situation. If you're wealthy, you're making a ton of money, great. Maybe these are just extra ideas like me. You know, these ideas just got me to think even further, man, because sometimes, you know, I spend also and I'm like, hey, wait a minute, how much am I spending? And then I read this and I'm like, I'm tracking this right away, man. This is so cool. So look at this. It says the secret weapon is your scorecard. It says track every action that you do. Doesn't sound like much, I know, but writing down, for example, how much money do you spend on a daily basis? You grab a little notebook and then what you do is on this notebook, you write down everything that you're spending on a daily basis. So what are you spending on a daily basis? How are you spending your money on a daily basis? You write it down. You put a date, you know, expense. What was it? The expense, the amount, and the date and time that you made the expense. And what's going to happen is that in this book it says, man, I'm going to show you how to create wealth. It says, you're first of all by having this notepad and your pen in your pocket and you're carrying it everywhere. You're going to feel lazy pulling out your pen and your notepad and then writing down the amount that you spend on, let's say you went to Starbucks, right? You spend $4 in Starbucks. So you just finished buying the Starbucks, whatever, coffee or Frappuccino or whatever. And then you pull out your notepad and you're going to be like, oh man, here we go. I have to write it down. So what it says is that human nature is going to get you to start being lazy. So you're going to, in the beginning, you're going to be like, all right, let's do it. After three or four times of pulling this out, you're going to start feeling lazy and you're going to be like, man, I don't even want to spend money because I don't even want to pull this out to write it all down in detail. And it's going to get you to spend less money. Dude, it works. I've been doing this for the past 3 days, and I've spent basically no money out of my pocket. I literally don't want to even pull out my wallet. You know, I actually did spend today for something that I need at the office, but that's a business expense. I'm talking about miscellaneous, non-important expenses. You know what I mean? And so I want to read this to you how it's said in this book, because I can't say it any better than this book. Check this out. It says his accountant gave him that idea. It says, here's what my accountant had me do. Carry a small notepad in my back pocket and write down every single cent I spent for the next 30 days. Because I had to log everything down, I resisted buying some things just so that I didn't have to take out my notepad and write the dang book. So then it says, you may have heard about the tracking before. In fact, you've probably done your own version of this exercise. And yes, I have actually, but I also bet you aren't doing it right now. How do I know? Because your life isn't working as successfully as you'd like. You've gone derailed. Tracking is the way to get it back on track. Do you know how the casinos make so much money in Vegas? Because they track every table, every winner, every hour. Why do Olympic trainers get paid top dollar? Because they track every workout, every calorie, and every micronutrient for their athletes. All winners are trackers. Right now, I want you to track your life with the same intention to bring your goals within sight. Tracking is a simple exercise. It works because it brings moment-to-moment awareness to actions you can take in the area of your life you want to improve, right? Just track one habit every 1 week. And I want you guys to do this right now. I mean, this is a classroom, right? And it's not just about giving you knowledge, it's about you guys taking action to the knowledge, right? At one point in your life, you must have heard the phrase that says, knowledge is power. Well, guess what? That's a big fat lie. Knowledge is not power. Knowledge put to use is power. Applied knowledge is power. So what I'm teaching you right now is a knowledge that I want you to apply. So I want you to write down on your notepad right now that you're taking notes, or go ahead and pull out your cell phone and go to your notes section or put it on your calendar and write down, what do you want to track right now? Well, guess what? Since this is a talk about money, then why don't you go ahead and start tracking the amount of money, the money part of your life that you want to get rid of. It says, if you refuse, I'm not going to lose anything. See, if you refuse to do this exercise, I'm not going to lose anything. Heck, it's not my waistline or my cardiovascular health or my bank balance or relationships you're messing with. Right? But seriously, this is something really, really, really important. So let me talk about the $51,000 coffee. Ready for this one? Here we go. It says right here that every week when you spend, let's say you spend every single day $4 a coffee, right? What happens is that for every $4 a day of coffee habit that you have, it's going to cost you $51,000 in 20 years. Think about this. Did you know that every dollar you spend today, no matter where you spend it, is costing you nearly $5 in only 20 years? So every dollar you spend is costing you $5 20 years from now. Isn't that crazy? Look at what it says. It says, and $10 in 30 years. So $10. Every dollar co is costing you $10 30 years from now. That's because if you took a dollar and invested it at 8% in 20 years, that dollar would be worth almost $5. Every time you spend a buck today, it's like spending $5 out of your future pocket. That's a crazy way to look at it, right? I've heard of it before through also Dave Ramsey. So I want to share with you this screen right here so you can see what I'm talking about to better illustrate this point. Check this out. Look at this. Here's a visual of somebody that spends $4 a day in a coffee. Their first year is going to cost them $1,095. And look at their 10th year, $16,000. That cup of coffee, spending $4 of coffee per day in 10 years is $16,000. In 15 years is $30,000. But in 20 years, you're the $4 bad coffee habit is going to cost this family $51,000. Is that incredible or what? That's amazing. So I want to read to you the story of how he helped this lady do this. So look at what it says right here. It says, every time you look at an item that costs $50, man, guys, are you done screenshotting this? Hopefully you screenshot that. Look at this. It says, every time you look at an item that costs $50, ask yourself this question. Is this item worth $250? And if it's worth $250 today, then go ahead. It's worth buying. But if you every time you're looking at an item and it's 50 bucks and you're thinking, is it worth $250? Remember, five times. If it's not worth it, then don't buy it. And guess what? That's going to hold you back from buying things because you're thinking, man, I'm taking away $5 out of my pocket in the future for every dollar that I spend today. What a great way to look at spending, right? I know. One of the reasons a lot of families look, there's a statistic out there that says eight out of 10 families report that they live paycheck to paycheck. And one of the reasons they live paycheck to paycheck is because they spend more than they make. They get themselves in debt. How do you spend more than you make? Well, if you make $3,000, but you're spending $3,500, how is that happening? The only way that could happen is because you're getting in debt. You're using credit cards or you're borrowing money from somehow and you're spending more than you make. You know, and what's the antidote for that? I mean, as simple as spending less than you make, but how do you do that? Bam, tracking, track what you're spending, okay? So here we go. This is amazing. All right, let's keep going. I'm gonna read to you this awesome story. Look at this. It says, it talks about a girl that says, look, the way you create wealth is by saving 10% of everything that you make. That's a rule of thumb that I always use. Every time I talk to clients and they ask me, how much should I be saving, Raul? What is an ideal amount of money that I should be saving? And I always tell them the ideal amount that you should be saving is minimum 10% of your income. How do you calculate that? Easy. Just take away a zero. So let's say you make $5,000 a month. Take away a zero out of 5,000 and the answer is 500. So how much should you be saving? $500 a month if you make $5,000 a year. Does that make sense? So when the author of this book, Darren Hardy, said to the lady that she's working with, the lady said, yeah, right. I can't save that money. It was her employee, right? She said, yeah, right. I can't save 10% of my income. You need to give me a pay raise. That's what she said, right? And it says, and then he goes, I'll do better than that. I'm going to teach you how to become wealthy. Ready for another gold nugget, guys. Here we go. It says, I taught Kathleen, that's the lady that he's talking about. He says, I taught Kathleen how to track her spending. And she began to carry her notebook, just like I talked about right now, right? I told her to open a separate savings account with only $33. Ready for this, guys? Do this, which is just 1% of her existing monthly income. Okay. So she's making $3,300 a month. So 1% of that is 33 bucks. All right. Then I showed her how to live on $33 less per month by bringing her own lunch to work. Just one day a week, instead of going downstairs to the deli and ordering that sandwich, chips, and drinks, the next month, I had her save only 2%, which is $67. She saved an additional $33 by charging her cable subscription, changing her cable subscription service, or getting rid of cable. The next month went up 3%. We canceled her subscription to People magazine. It was a waste of time of her own life. And instead of going to Starbucks twice a week, I told Kathleen to buy the Starbucks beans and other fancy fixings and make her own coffee at the office. Guys, that is exactly what I do. You see right here, there's coffee in here. Guess how much it cost me? Not like if you go to Starbucks, a blonde roast, which is the one I like, it costs like $2.50, right? That's, I think, venti. And this one right here, I think it costs like 15 cents or something like that. You know, there's these things, right? Let's see if I can find you one. Look at this. See these little Keurig things? I like coffee. I do like coffee, but man, I'd rather spend 15 cents versus $2.50, right? And do myself my own venti cup of coffee. And then look at what he said, guys. Look at this. It says, make her own coffee at the office. She grew to like that even better. And me too. And in the book, it says me too, the author, right? By the end of the year, Kathleen was saving 10% of every dollar she earned without noticing a significant impact in her lifestyle. Did you hear that? You could be saving 10% of your income by this time next year without affecting your lifestyle. How would you like that? How awesome would it be, ladies and gentlemen, to be able to save 10% of your income when right now, let's say you're saving zero? How amazing would that, how life-changing would it be for your life for you to do that? Think about that. Is that something that is worth it for you? Are you the type of situation that you've always been like me 19 years ago, couldn't save not even $1,000 balance in my checking account? Always broke, always busted, disgusted, tore up from the floor up, right? I stole that one from a pastor. And guys, how would you like to change that situation? Wouldn't you want to change that? I did. And I love it. It's way better on the other side. You get to pay off your debt. I have no credit card. I remember when I was in college, I started my journey with $1,000 credit card that they gave me. I don't know why the heck they gave me that in college. I had no idea how to save money. I had no credit, and Discover Card gave me a credit card for $1,000 balance. Guess how fast I filled that one up. I think it was that weekend. I bought stuff. I had a friend that used to wear this clothes from Express, right? And I used to like the way he dressed. You would dress really sharp to these meetings, that we had clubs and organizations. And I said, man, I'm gonna go buy myself some of those nice shirts, you know. And I didn't know he was getting himself in debt, but I didn't know that. I thought he was. I don't know. I thought maybe his parents were rich or something, right? So I got in $2,000, and I was in credit card debt for a long, long time. Just recently, about 5-6 years ago, I became credit card debt free. I love it, the feeling, right? Just recently, I paid off both of my cars. There's no reason to buy another car, right? Both of my cars work perfectly fine. No car payment. Guys, our goal is to pay off our house in the next 3 years. Guys, if I can do it, and trust me, I was completely dead broke, so can you do it? And this is right here. I want you to watch this part of the video all over again, or read this book and make sure you apply these principles that we're teaching right now, that I'm teaching right now, right? This is so cool. So look at this. I'm going to keep on reading this awesome story. She was amazed. That one discipline also had a ripple effect in many other disciplines in her life. It is true. Once you create one good discipline, all of a sudden you look at other bad disciplines that you have in your life, and you're like, ooh, I conquered this discipline. Now I'm going to conquer other bad habits that I have. And you start creating new behaviors, right? And you start making new choices, which create new behaviors, which create new habits. And you start conquering all areas of your life in a positive way, right? What are the four major areas that every family should conquer in their lives? Well, it's the four F's. F, 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 F. Okay, four F's: faith, your family, your fitness, and your finances. Faith, family, fitness, finances. Faith, family, fitness, finances. Write it down. You want to conquer all areas of your life, not just the money area of your life, right? It says, she calculated what she spent on mind-numbing entertainment and began investing money on personal growth instead. After feeding her mind with several hundreds of hours of inspirational and instructional content, just like this right here, if I don't say so myself, right? Her creativity started to soar. I could totally relate, by the way. She brought me several ideas on how we could make and save more money in our organization. She presented me with a plan that she would implement in her spare time if I promised to reward her with 10% of all the money saving strategies and 15% of all the new revenue. Dude, if you have a job, you could do this with your boss. Think about this. Look at this. And 15% of all the new revenue strategies that prove profitable. By the end of the second year, she was earning more than $100,000 a year. So remember how the story started. She was earning $33,000 a year. By the end of her second year, she was already earning $100,000 a year on the same $40,000 base salary. Yeah, so it's $40,000 minus taxes is $33,000 take home, right? Check this out. Kathleen eventually started her own independent contracting service business that took off. I ran into Kathleen in an airport 2 years ago. She now earns more than $250,000 a year. That's $250,000 a year. And has saved and created more than $1 million in assets. She's a millionaire. All starting from the choice to take one small steps and start saving $33 a month. How about that, guys? Is that inspirational for you? Is that something that you want to do? Is that something that interests you? Is that something beautiful that you want to improve upon your life? Is that something that is mind-changing, mind-boggling, or what, guys? Anyways, man, last but not least, I want to talk a little bit about market report and what's going on with the economy. Actually, the economy is still doing good as of last week. Let's look it up. Any questions you guys have? Yeah, there you go. Somebody put on the chat 50-50, right? Sorry about that. I just saw that. I apologize for that. But I want to show you something really cool that I want to share with you, which is a market report of the economy. So here we go. Let's see this. Okay. So here is a market report of the economy right now. I don't have an iPad that has battery right now, so I'm using my cell phone. So here we go. Let's look at the S&P 500, which is a normal one, right? Since last week, the market did want to go down, but then it recovered again. And right now the market this week has done 0.46%. So not a lot. It's kind of steady, kind of flat. In the last month, it has gone up. In the last month, the market has gone up 6%. You know what's so cool about this? I always look at it this way. I always look at it like this. I look at this and say, if I would have invested in the market in the last week, I would have made, what does it say right here? Almost 6%, 5.99%. And to me, that's something that is exciting. It gets me excited even now that I've been doing this for 19 years. You know why it gets me excited? It gets me excited because I used to not know this. My family for generations, for the last 100, 200, 300 years that I could track my family tree. It's not that long ago, but I barely could track it, 4 generations. But for all the generations, we have been broke for generations. And this is why, because we didn't know this money game. We didn't know how to win in the money game. And every time I look at the S&P 500 and I look at the last 3 months, 12.63%, it gets me excited to see this. Because the bank doesn't give you that. The bank doesn't even give you 1%. The bank doesn't even give you 1%, guys. And this is something that's really exciting. Also, I want to give a quick testimony. Look, one of my teammates, this is how you create wealth. This is how you create wealth. One of my teammates says, Raul, I'm so excited how I was able to help this family. This family right here, look at this. This one I could landscape it. Look at this. This is beautiful, guys. Look at this, guys. This family just recently passed away when? It says right there, November 2020. November 2020, this family passed away from acute kidney injury and COVID-19. But you know what's crazy about this? What's crazy about this situation is that our, you know, this gentleman got him a life insurance policy. And this life insurance policy, you know, he had filled up the application. So when it comes to life insurance, when you fill up an application and you give a deposit, you're conditionally covered, assuming that you're healthy. And in this case, he got a coverage of $350,000, which with our company, every company is different, but with our company, he needed to do a medical exam. Okay, check this out. He needed to do a medical exam. And before he could do the medical exam, he passed away. So he was already scheduled to do the medical exam, where you know, a phlebotomist goes to his house, checks blood pressure, urine, vitals, height and weight, all that stuff. But before he could do that, he passed away from COVID in November. So any insurance company, what would they have done? Any insurance company, the policy was never issued because the medical exam was never completed. He passed away before the medical exam was completed, and any insurance company would have not paid. But guess what our company did? This is why I love, you know, making sure you work with the right company. I mean, in my mind, I'm thinking, why would anybody do business with anybody else but our company? No other company would have paid this death claim. And guess what? Our company paid this death claim. Our company paid this death claim. And I want to show you how this works. This is amazing. Look at this. Our company paid this death claim. And here it is. This is called the Primerica State account. And it shows right here. Look at this. Death benefit, $350,000 that was paid out to this family just recently. The death benefit was paid out on April 26, 2021, which is a couple of days ago. A couple of days ago, this company paid out a death benefit for the amount of $351,144, which is, you know, the $350,000 plus the interest, required state interest. Is that mind-boggling or what, guys? That's always something that that I'm excited to share, because there's you know, a lot of people have been screwed over by financial services companies. But our company, the company that I work with, is amazing. It's incredible. And it's something that if you're not a client of our company, then I recommend that you should, you know, I don't think there's another company that's better than our company. But, you know, I'm a little biased. I work with our company. But why do I say that? Why am I biased? Because of these testimonials. I remember, you know, my neighbor back then when I lived in Coachella with my parents, my neighbor, you know, when I joined this company, one of the teammates that this company hired also was my neighbor. And she got a life insurance policy on her and her husband. Her husband, unfortunately, was deported because he didn't have papers. He was deported to Mexico, but he doesn't have nothing to do in Mexico. All of his family lives in California. So he kept trying to jump the border and get back to his family. So one of these days, you know, he crossed the border over there in Arizona, and he got lost in the Arizona desert, that desert area that is kind of like desolate. There's nothing there, right? Middle of nowhere. And guess what, guys? He was lost for 6 months, and the family couldn't find him. It was like a crazy situation, because this guy, everybody knew him in Coachella and where I'm from, right? And then he passed away. How do they find out? They found his cranium only and his femur. That's it. That's all they found. His cranium and his femur. He was my neighbor. And guess what? My neighbor had stopped paying for the policy 3 months before because she couldn't afford to pay it anymore, because her husband was the breadwinner and she was raising 3 kids by herself. 4 kids by herself. And guess what our company did? No other company would have paid this death claim. There's a thing called in the life insurance business, which you should have a life insurance policy. It's a way to create generational wealth, which is going to be the topic of next week, by the way. How do you create generational wealth with the use of a life insurance policy? Guess what? Wealthy people do it all the time. All the time. Right now, I'm going to die. Everybody's going to die. I'm young, I'm healthy. I don't think I'm going to die yet, but I don't know when. God knows. But if I die, my wife is wealthy. Like, boom, generational wealth just like that. Completely financially independent. Does that make sense? So I could do it now, or I'm going to do it later, little by little, by saving, little by little, little by little. Does that make sense? Well, look, her policy, his policy had canceled, but because we work with an incredible company. Sorry, I have to like totally throw a plug, man, because no other company would have done this. It's not like we're doing something that other companies would do. No other company would have paid that death claim because it was lapsed for 3 months. There's a 2-month grace period that all companies have, but this company after 3 months lapsed, paid off the death claim, and that was amazing. My neighbor got a death claim check, and she was able to use that money to have an honorable funeral for my neighbor, and that's beautiful, man. Another question that I got from one of my clients, and what time is it? Almost done. Okay, we're getting ready for the Spanish session in about 8 minutes. So my other neighbor had one of our teammates called me today, and she goes, Raul, we want to refinance our house. What do we need to what do we do to refinance our house? How does it work? And so I said, give me a call, because this was conversation through Instagram. And so I said, call me. Here's my number. She called me right away, and she passed the phone to her husband. Her husband said, hey, Raul, what do I do? What do I need to do to refinance? I have a 4.5% interest rate, and everybody's saying that it's too high. And it is, but it depends. Okay, so I want to throw a quick plug here on how do mortgage companies determine the interest rates. Okay, it's based on three things. A lot of people think that it's just the credit score, the FICO score. The FICO score is a factor, pretty big factor, but it's not the biggest factor. The biggest factor is the banks want to know if you could afford it. Can you pay for the loan, right? So that they could lend you the money. Your FICO score shows good trust in you to pay the bills, your ability to pay the bills, your credibility to pay the bills. Your ability to pay the bills is your income, right? And then the last thing is, are you paying anybody else? You know, they are kind of jealous. They don't want you to have more debt. So it's three things. You ready? Write these down, okay? Your FICO score is definitely one of them. Your interest rate is determined also by your debt to income ratio. Debt to income ratio is how much debt do you pay, okay, versus the income that you make. What's the percentage of that? And there's a certain percentage. Every bank is different, by the way, so I'm not going to say a percentage, but there's a certain percentage that you cannot be spending on debt more than the income that you make, that so that you could qualify for a loan. And if your debt to income qualifies, but it's pretty high up there, then your interest rate is going to be higher. Does that make sense? And the third one is loan to value. Loan to value means how much value does your house have versus how much loan is the loan going to be, right? So let's say the value of the house is $250,000, but you owe $200,000. So you have equity of $50,000. And let's say you want to use $30,000 of that equity to pay off some debt. So you're going to pull out a loan of $230,000 as a refinance, and that's going to get your loan to value pretty high, and banks don't like that. But if you did qualify, your interest rate's going to be higher. Does that make sense, guys? So those are the main factors that determine whether it's a good idea to refinance. It might not be a good idea for them, even though right now, if everything is good, they could probably get a 2.8, 2.9% interest rate. Versus the 4.5 that they have right now, but it might not be a good way to go about it right now if their loan to value is no good, if their debt to income ratio is no good, and their credit score is no good. Well, that's all I got for you guys today, man. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this class. Hope you saw a lot of value, and man, make sure you do me a big favor and help me out, okay? On the chat right now, or on the description below, There is a phone number that I want you guys to text me and share, right? 501-2536, 760-501-2536. And I want you guys to share this webinar with others. And I want you to text me so that I could give you the previous recordings. text the word to this number, webinar. Text the word webinar to 760-501-2536. And I'm also going to give you what are the a link to take you to the next steps of financial freedom. Okay. What are the next steps to financial freedom? It's impossible for me to help you create a financial plan and wealth in this 1 hour. It's impossible. So I put on the chat and on the description below of this video, I put a link that I want you guys to click on so that you guys could get, so you guys could know what is the next steps of your financial wealth building plan. So I want you guys to do that. Go ahead and click on that. And it's gonna tell you what do you need to do next to create wealth, to have a game plan towards being prosperous and winning in this money game. So other than that, thank you guys so much for watching. It is at the top of the hour, and it was an honor to spend an hour with you and share with you valuable information. Until the next time, in the same day, same time, same link, go ahead and share that link with your friends and family. It's always better to watch this webinar with somebody else, with a friend, right? Instead of just by yourself. So go ahead and share this information, and I'll see you next week at 6 o'clock. Thank you guys so much for your time, and I hope it was a great investment of your time. God bless you, and I'll see you next week. Take care. Hey, thank you so much. Hope you enjoyed today's episode, and we'll be doing more to come. Thank you for joining me in today. And if you liked this podcast, if it helped you in any way, please go ahead and like, subscribe to my podcast, and hit a review, and that would be awesome. Thank you so much. Don't forget to share. Have a great day.